Hey, this is Dallas DeWhite from the LA Maybe, and you're listening to the Shout It Out Loudcast with Tom and Zeus.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Oi.
This is James Simmons.
Put that cookie down.
Yes.
Stop pressing the button.
Star Broker Simmons.
Star? Paul Stanley. Is that what he does?
Stop shouting.
My name is Ace Riley.
He's not what you would call a handsome man.
Oh, no. Here come the kiss times.
Is that a positive thing?
Okay.
All right.
I'm going to grab me a nice cold mellow yellow.
Hey! Why? Why do that to the fan?
Stop it.
Why?
Because fuck them.
Clap them.
What are you talking about?
617-525-0.
You do?
Hey, fuck them.
Do you like
Kiss?
Settle down.
Hello. Hey. What's up, Dick? Kiss Army. It's Tom and Zeus. We're doing another episode of Shout It Out Loudcast. It's episode 214. Kiss on the Howard Stern Show. Tom, how you doing?
Pretty good. How's it going? Not bad.
I'm okay. Welcome to Prozac Shout It Out Loudcast.
Welcome to the medicated version of Shout It Out Loudcast.
And you know why we need to be medicated?
Yes.
Because we hate everybody.
Well, not everybody. But put it this way.
I hate everybody.
Put it this way. Our hit list is growing exponentially by the minute.
And there's,
you know what's funny about this? I was listening to one of the podcasts I subscribe to, the Rewatchables. I know Murph listens to it, movie podcast.
Well, is that a positive thing that Murph listens to it?
They just did an episode on The Purge. And I'm like, what a great idea. Once a year, 12 hours, all crime is legal. You can fucking kill people. You can burn people's houses down. I say we start implementing The Purge on Shout It Out Loudcast.
Yes, there's that book and movie and story, The Most Dangerous Whatever Animal, where they would hunt a human, they put them in the woods and go, I want to throw and put them in the woods.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I'll delete the names.
Obviously.
But I'm telling you, I want to put them in the woods, Tom. One of them ain't getting very far and fucking hunt them down. Oh, you want to post about this? For the 1,000,000th time? Boom. Oh, you want to pat yourself on the back? You work so hard. And
please tell me you're editing all this out.
I'm such a nice guy. Boom. Be my friend. Boom.
Welcome, new listeners.
I'm not editing that part out. I'm leaving that. The names will be out. That stays in. Fuck all them. I'm tired of this shit. I know you are tired of this shit. Grow up. Be a man. Like, stop whining, bullshit, stupid stuff. And it's all over my social media. I can't get rid of it.
Yes, you can. Block them and stop following them.
I don't. Other people post some of this shit.
Be my friend. Godfather.
Change your fucking shirt.
Jesus Christ. Welcome to the final episode of Shout It Out Loudcast. Anyways, I said it once. I'll say it again. Welcome, new listeners. They're like, wait, what is this? Oh, boy.
Yeah, I love it because, like, we're going to do feedback on when Three Sides came on. It's like all you people that like give them a hard time, I'll fucking take that shit any day. Over the other ones throw out into Revere Beach.
Being afraid of criticism is no way to go through life, son. Just like being fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
I pat you on the back, but your hand is in the way. Just stop.
Yeah, it's just have a little bit of, that's, what? It's pathetic. Have a little bit of a pride, a little self-respect.
Some dignity.
Dignity. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Just fucking whiny, wanting bitching.
That's it. That's it. Pissing and moaning. Pissing and moaning, moaning and pissing.
And another thing that I've noticed lately is all the people that want to constantly bitch about Kiss and act like they're above Kiss. But when they want attention,
they circle
Kiss,
back to them.
Kiss, Kiss, Kiss. Oh, right. Here's a Kiss thing. Kiss, Kiss. Oh, this is just so beneath. Oh, Kiss people, fans. Oh, you know, people going, oh, Kiss the way they
are. I can't believe these tickets. I can't believe these people are scalping and they're selling this on stuff. Then don't go.
I'd rather buy this than go here. Do it. There's a reason why Kiss tickets sold out in Madison Square Garden and people are paying thousands of dollars and paying 50 cents or whatever you're telling people to get.
Well, let's get into that right now, then, because we're on a rant. We're going to fucking save that for later on. But I said this on our Facebook group, I think it was. Have you people ever bought concert tickets before? The insanity with the codes and the logging on and the pre-sale. The website's broken. I can't get in. My queue says 293, but there's other people that I know got the ticket. Have you people ever bought concert tickets before? Because you're embarrassing yourself. Not to mention, just, again, get a grip. It's fucking Kiss. I mean, spoiler alert, we're going to both shows. And we didn't tell anybody about it because it's whatever.
Our good friend, Jeff Trott / Jeff Tate from Queensryche. I talked to him the other day and he was saying he tried to get on. Yeah. He couldn't get the tickets. He was, and he's like, I didn't hear him bitching. Oh, society's fucking rigged. It's a rigged system. A la Bernie Sanders about Kiss tickets. But, you know,
we've got to do something about the ticket conglomerates. Kiss at Madison Square Garden. It's the end of the road. This is ridiculous. I'm not paying more than $49.99.
And why don't they have that short, pudgy guy on the drums when Peter Criss is alive?
That's ridiculous. We have Cheetah Criss. We've got Fake Ace. We got Sinkin' Stanley. We got Greed Simmons. I'm not paying face value tickets.
We got the landscaper. We got everybody.
And these guys want to call themselves Piss. We're not doing it. Anyway, do we even have an episode today? We're never even going to get to our episode.
There was more. Jeff said, what about all the assholes that would go into the system and then not purchase the tickets, but do screenshots and go, oh, I guess I would be number 422.
Right.
And they never would buy the tickets. Their intention was never to buy because they saw it and stuff. But then they fucking clogged up the whole system by going in.
What about the people already on Facebook groups selling their tickets already? Already selling them. Yeah, it's bad. I'm telling you right now. When we started this podcast, we were actually very blessed with the uncanny timing of Kiss announcing the end of the road tour right around when our podcast started. It was perfect. And that has been a blessing for us because there's current Kiss stuff to talk about. And then there's the history of the band stuff to talk about. I'm not lying right now. I am looking forward to January of 24 when Kiss is gone for a while. Because
what will the other shows talk about?
Because the Kiss, that's a good point. But because
they'll just go through our fucking shit and just pick out copy episodes. Yeah. What else?
But the Kiss fandom, it's really gotten. And again, I know that we have our own. Obviously, we've spent the first 15 minutes of this bitching and moaning about everything. But it's just Kiss. We talked about this with Mike and Lisa. I feel like social media and Kiss fandom, it's like ruining everything. Like, what the fuck, people?
Dude, I believe that again, it's part of human nature how people are, and then Kiss is microcosm of all that. Like,
I agree. Look into it deep,
and people are
so absolutely.
I didn't waste my time on Kiss tickets. I went out and got fourth row at Bingo Tango Rocks fucking Taiwan. I don't know. Fucking. Congratulations.
Great. Great. You saw some band that no one's ever heard of at the Knights of Columbus in Revere. That's fan fucking tastic that that's what you do with your money.
Yeah.
Great. And that's not bad. That's not bad. But don't give us shit because we spent a lot of money on KISS tickets. I don't understand how you begrudge people for doing what they want with their money.
Yeah.
That I don't understand.
Because it's jealousy. Bingo. And it's human nature. It's Thank human you. Nature.
Thank you.
And then they want to validate the fact that they can't do something. So they want to validate what they think is more important than buying KISS tickets.
And guess what? To quote our friend Sonny Pooney, those people are BAF, broke as fuck. That's why they're attacking people who are spending money on KISS tickets. BAF.
Oh,
that's it. Yeah.
Like, I'm super excited that we were able to get these seats.
I can't wait. This is going to be amazing. I cannot wait. December can't get here fast enough.
We had a game plan.
Yep.
Exercise to a T.
Oh, it was perfect. It was like Mission Impossible. It was awesome.
We have myself, you, and Murph are going.
Yep.
There might be more tickets.
Yep.
Available.
Yep.
And then for the last night, do we spill the beans? We won't say who, but do we spill the beans?
Yeah, we don't have to. Yeah, we can. Our Robin Hood, our knight in shining armor,
our Chip Magoo,
our
the guy that we always mention about how much he does for us, and he's the fucking the man. We love him. He knows who he is.
He knows how much we love him, and he knows who he is.
We got second row,
final
for the final night.
Second row floor, final KISS show, Madison Square Garden. We're going. Me, Zeus, Murph, and our friend.
And then what happened around 1 o'clock in the morning the next day? No, that night, actually.
Oh, go ahead. Tell them. This is a great story.
Jericho starts talking to me. We're asking him something about a podcast question. He gets, oh, I'm just seeing this now. Hey, this and that. And go, I told him about, oh, we just got tickets. Where'd you get tickets? And the funniest thing is, I said, we got him, your fellow SIOL Hall of Famer got him for us. He said, don't be a dick. Who did it? Who got it for you? Fucking Charlie? Paul McCartney? I'm like, dude, not real Hall of Fame person. Paul McCartney did not get us tickets for KISS.
He goes, I'm not in the mood for games.
And then throughout our text for the next 15, 20 minutes, he comes back to me and goes, got it, fucko. And he bought front row right in front of us. And he texts back, now you can see me shake my ass like Paul Stanley.
I love it. I love it. So front row right Jericho, front. Second row us.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Man.
So
unbelievable. Unbelievable. That's a little bit of our opening rant. There might be more where that came from later on in the show. But what are we talking about this episode?
By the way, did I close it by saying I fucking hate everybody these days?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
So, Tom, we're going to talk about last week's episode where we had three sides of the coin, half of them on.
Yeah.
But before we do, let's give a high five to our buddy, the Taxman, Tony Barone, in tax season.
That's right. Tax season is upon us, people. And our buddy Tony wants everybody to know, hey, Loudcasters. AB CPA Inc. is an accounting firm located in the suburbs of Chicago that can assist you with all of your accounting and tax needs. For business, they offer bookkeeping, financial statements, payroll processing, payroll tax returns, sales tax returns, filing federal and state income tax returns, and help with starting your own business. For individuals, they offer help with sole proprietorships, rental real estate, trust and estate tax returns, and filing personal federal and state income tax returns. They have access to all 50 states. So whether you live in
Delaware
or
Arkansas,
AB CPA Inc. can prepare and e-file on your behalf. Did you know KISS Army? If you own a business with employees and have had a 20% reduction of revenue than you did in 2019 due to COVID or state mandated shutdowns, you might be entitled to additional tax credits. Follow them on Facebook and LinkedIn and visit them on their website at abcpainc.com. That is www.abcpainc.com. Or email Tony at tony@abcpainc.com. That's tony@abcpainc.com. Or call our buddy at 708-430-3232. That's 708-430-3232. And special tax season deal that Tony has given all Shout It Out Loudcast listeners. If you call, 10% any tax preparation fees that Tony will do for you. So if you call him, make sure you heard about him on Shout It Out Loudcast.
Yeah, ABCPA Inc. All right. Oh, anyway, Tom, by the way, before we move on, me and Murph caught my girl, Kelly Willis. She performed with two other ladies.
That's right.
In Waltham.
Yep.
Unbelievable show. Murph was blown away. I love it. I've created a Kelly Willis fan. And then, of course, after the show, we get to hang out and stuff. And I try not to be very stalkerish. Like, yep. Hi, remember me? I seen you three times. Back the fuck up. Anyway, we talked to her and she may be a guest at some point.
Make sure she doesn't listen to this episode.
Anyway, just thought I'd throw that in and a tip of the hat to my buddy Murph, who's always fun to hang out with.
Of course. Yep.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, Murph also has a raging boner since this morning because he got to hear our Dorm Damage episode. We did the 90s playlist.
That's right. Murph loves that stuff, of course.
And if you Kiss-tards keep this up, we're going to be I'm going to take Tom up on his idea of like, fuck yes, that's it. We're done.
That's it. It's going to be the 90s. It's going to be a 90s podcast. And you people, you either love it or hate it.
What do you mean, you people?
Yeah. What do you mean, you people?
You sound all like right. Ross Perot. You people need to get off your dead asses. Anyway, Tom, what we do next is we talk about last week's episode and we did a little poll. What was
the poll? So we had some fun with this one. So we had Mike and Lisa from Three Sides of the Coin to many people's shock and awe. So simple question was, who is more negative when it comes to Kiss? And the options are us, Three Sides of the Coin, Kiss fans, or all of the above. Now, Kiss fans took it with 37%. All of the above took it at 33%. But guess who came in with 21% of the vote?
Us.
Us.
That's right.
And guess who finished in the single digits? Three Sides of the Coin at 9%.
Dude, if this poll came out after this episode, we would have blown everything away.
I love it. I love it. And Mike Branvold himself said, can we vote for ourselves? I like it. I like it. Baseball and Death says, I voted for you because I think the crown is important to you. All right. That's all right. All right. All right. That's not bad. That's not bad. All right. Our buddies over at Right Between the Eyes podcast. Definitely one of the standout Kiss podcasts out there. Check those guys out. They do a great job. They've been good to us. We try to share each other's things on social media and comment and get involved. Those guys are great. So check them out. They said, fantastic episode, everyone. There is a reason that both shows are seated at the head of the Kiss podcast table, and we are honored to have a seat at that table. That's a great comment. You guys are very, very kind to say that, but you guys have a great show of your own. Uncle Polly then says, Kiss brought me to this podcast. Then Mr. Feces, King. Oh, this is great. Then Mr. Feces, King, the WWF Jobbers, Tim Dog, Disheveled Jim Henson, the Peter North Stars, Ooh, We're Bad Boys, Piss Inferno, Three's Company, etc., are what keep me listening every week. This podcast is definitely in my bang zone.
Oh, don't use the sunny word. You had to ruin it.
I know. I'm not reading that one. I'm not reading that one. We got a ton of great comments, but one that was kind of interesting was that Three Sides of the Coin got into a pissing match on Twitter with Superfan Dave, and it got a little ugly. I'm not going to read any of that over the microphone here, but yikes. Our buddy Heavy Mayo, nice kind words. He says, I love it when rival podcasts join forces. Rising tides raise all ships.
No, I prefer war.
Oh, there's war. There's plenty of war.
Yes.
And we'll finish off Twitter with a nice one here from Amy J. Kiss podcasts, I started listening because I went to an Alice Cooper Ace Frehley concert and I was looking for a review and Shout It Out Loudcast popped up. I was hooked ever since. Shout It Out Loudcast was my first. I haven't listened to Three Sides of the Coin yet, but I was so happy to hear another girl talking Kiss and able to have fun. Very nice. First of all, I think it's hilarious that Amy's like, oh, I want to hear somebody talk about Ace Frehley. Then she hears us. We're like, fucking Regina Pizzeria. Anyways, that's Twitter. Thank you, Amy. Thank you, everyone. Great, great comments on Twitter. You guys look great. So thank you for that.
Over on the Book of Face. All right. First comment was vetoed by Tom. I'm not allowed to say it, but go there and you'll see what the comment was that you think I would have said. Our buddy Scott Donaldson, who's in
Australia, and he's in Kisteria as the Fox. Great, great Kiss tribute band. He's Eric Carr, the drummer.
Such a cool episode, Tom and Zeus. I enjoyed it so much, I will have to listen to it again. You can imagine my surprise waking up and seeing you had Three Sides of the Coin on your show. This was pretty cool, as I enjoyed both podcasts for different reasons. Three Sides was the first podcast I ever listened to, and that's how I was able to find Shout It Out Loudcast. Well done, guys. Loving hearing you all talking about Kiss. One of my favorite episodes. Peace out, Girl Scout.
Awesome. Thanks, Scott. Very cool.
Kevon Japson.
Giggity, 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 giggity.
Oh, Jesus. It is nice.
Great episode. All my friends bullshitting. Branville is harmless and super cool in person. Lisa is hot. So you guys have a good view. I'm happy this finally happened. Yeah, fart spray.
Oh, God. Yes.
Mike Jacobs says, I've listened to both podcasts over the 2 years. I like when you guys do crossovers together. Shout It Out Loudcast, Three Sides of the Coin, Growing Up Rock podcast are three of my favorites. Keep up the great work, guys.
Nice.
Ryan Michael Scott, Spencer Cook, Courtney Kroll, Rodham Clinton. This was fantastic. Everyone involved was great talking Kiss, just shooting the shit and venting. Seemed a bit therapeutic for all involved. Also, we are all patiently waiting for the Patreon to hear where you release your opening banter. I tried it tonight, guys. I was recording. You heard some of it. I mean,
you heard some of it.
Yeah. The openings of the last couple of weeks have been so entertaining and truthful. Like always, 10 out of 10 episode, guys.
Wow. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate that. Very nice.
Over on our Loudcasters page, Angry Gary Cap.
Yeah, Gary.
This is great. I can't understand podcasts competing with one another and being petty towards one another. Whether it's Kiss, cooking, wrestling, or whatever, everybody just wants to listen, be entertained, and informed. Really looking forward to hearing this podcast. Gary, you are the man. And Gary got tickets for the show.
That's right. That's right. Our buddy Wrighty did. Steve Wright, part of in hell. He's going to be heading to New York City that weekend, too, for the final show. So it's going to be a big, big gathering of SIOL people there. It's going to be a lot of fun. As that date approaches, I'm sure we'll try to maybe organize something a little bit more put together there.
Is that a positive thing?
No, it's actually very bad.
Jack Pinocchio. This went better than I thought. I can already tell they will be back on your show, or you will be on there for an episode or two. But my only complaint, I do listen to their show if they have a good topic to listen to. Poor Lisa needs a better mic. That's all. Great episode, guys.
It's fine.
I jumped on that and added a few things. Over on our Instagram page, Lee Graham says hummingbirds and piss cakes collided.
Oh,
yet
Jesus.
We survived. Mark Flores music, 2 hours, 35 minutes. And I still don't know what Michael Branville's feelings are on Peter North.
Nice.
Over on YouTube. Wow. A lot of comments here. Anthony Stratus says, in the words of Roman Reigns, and on the behalf of Tom and Zeus, three sides of the coin, acknowledge me.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, wrestling talk. Tom loves that. And another wrestling comment about Defunct says, this is like the mega powers of Kiss Pods.
Nice.
I can't read your comment, Marty. Nah, I can't do that right now, but it's funny. Michael Branville actually chimed in and said, had a great time. Thanks for asking us to be on the show. Anytime, brother.
Thanks for coming on. Yep.
Somebody named Jimmy Page commented, and he's not too happy with three sides. If you want to read it on the air. I can't read it on the air. And then FM Big Hair said, Scotch tape laughing my fucking ass off.
Oh, yeah, ace. Yep.
And then he didn't remark, this episode is watermarked for your enjoyment.
Oh, God.
All right. Tom, that's what I got. Over to you, buddy.
So before we continue and finish up feedback with some emails, there was a comment that Zeus and I were kind of disagreeing on about whether that should be comment of the week. So we
I
do
said yes.
So we do want to acknowledge it. Here's the reason why I don't think it deserved comment of the week. It was because it wasn't show related. It wasn't commenting on any of our posts. However, we want to give it credit here. So the comment wasn't related to the show per se, but I saw it because our buddy Sean DeHaan, and we hope he's doing well, he posted something last week during the ticket presale, and he posted, hey, has anybody seen a presale password yet? And our buddy Mark Lipsett, who's been a longtime listener, said, try Kistard.
That was hilarious.
And so it's not comment of the week, but we had to acknowledge it. So because it was just too fucking funny, I just friggin' died. So let's wrap up here with a couple great emails. First, we want to give some props to our buddies Jeff and the amazing Michelle. Yeah, we love those guys up in Canada. They sent us a picture of them wearing some amazing Shout It Out Loudcast gear. Hoodies, t-shirts, awesome stuff. So we love Jeff. We love Michelle. We had an amazing time with them on the cruise. So thank you for sharing that. Great picture.
And Tom, that picture is now on the website.
Yes.
Along with the guys that we met at the Winery Dogs.
Yep, that's right. Yep.
And also Darren Hunt sent us a nice photo. So all that's in our About Us. If you go to Loudcasters, you go to the About Us section of the website, you'll see everybody and they're shouted out Loudcast gear. We have like, I don't know, 30, 40 people in there. So
that's awesome. Yeah. And speaking of the Winery Dogs, we got a comment from our buddy AJ White, who was at that Winery Dogs concert. He says, great episode as usual, guys. I get so fired up and scream at my speakers, which speaks volume about SIOL in a great way. I love the fact that you respect strong opinions because I'm about to unload. Just to add to your Howard interview feedback, I love the fact that you respect strong opinions because I'm about to unload. I must say that I could not disagree more with Mike's comment regarding Eric and Vinny's makeup. He is correct by saying that Kiss was dead, dead, and dead when Creatures came out, but it had absolutely nothing to do with their new makeup designs. That's just Paul talking and others drinking it up. Also, his comments regarding Ace and Peter botching negotiations for the final shows by asking for more. Of course, they should not get nearly as much as Gene and Paul, but has he forgotten where Kiss was at just before the reunion tour? Without Ace and Peter's return in 96, none of this would be happening. They went from a half to three quarters empty small arenas to sold out stadiums and arenas for several tours, which is never mentioned. No, I am not part of the Ace cult, just a massive Kiss fan with opinions. I say the final two shows should be Paul, Gene, Ace, Peter, Bruce, Eric, and Eric Carr's makeup, and Tommy in Vinny's makeup, unless he really does own it, LOL. It'll never happen. Talk about seeing a unicorn. In reality, I think it will just be the existing four with maybe some Kistery on the screen. For the record, I do listen to Three Sides occasionally, and I enjoy it. I faithfully listen to SIOL, ARC, and Dorm Damage. Keep up the amazing work. Thank you for allowing me to rant, AJ White. AJ, no worries, buddy. We love you. Good stuff. Sent from our website, and I should also say that AJ's comment was sent through our website, shoutoutloudcast.com. This is from Angel Canino. He's clarifying for me. Last week, I wrote El Pedo Caliente, and I was like, what does that mean, a hot pedophile? he says that El Pedo Caliente means hot fart.
I love it.
I'll take your word for it. And then we got a couple other great emails from our buddies Craig Moran, our buddy Joey Romanek, America's favorite realtor. Some great stuff from everybody. Tons of feedback. But we're going to finish up here with one from Rick Hickey, who sent it via our website, which we love people doing. Longtime listener, big fan of the show. This is the first time I have felt inspired to drop you a line. Much like your annual Festivus, you guys should team up with Three Sides for an episode once a year, because that shit was great. I loved hearing all you guys talking about Kiss together. So much insight and expertise on the band, their history, and their caca loco fans like me. The story about the death stench elevator had me laughing my ass off so hard while I was raking leaves that I'm sure the neighbors now think I'm a fucking maniac. Keep up the great work, Rick Hickey. P.S. I'd love to hear you guys do a deep dive on Acoin, Bogart, and Delaney sometime. Well, we did do an episode about Sean Delaney, but we are going to eventually get into Bill Acoin and Neil Bogart. We're going to do that for sure. But Rick Hickey, thank you. Great email. We love hearing from people when they reach out to us for the first time and giving you some laughs. So thank you, Rick. And for that, you are the comment of the week.
Good answer. Good answer. Like the way you think. I'm going to be watching you.
Yeah, that's a fucking sweet way to end all that feedback, brother.
That's right. Yep.
So, Tom, what we do next is we go over and give a shout out to our Patreon family. Once again, new member.
Yes.
This
amazing.
Time, Brian Gray joins the family.
Love it.
Yep. Brian, thank you for jumping on board as a Catman member. Perhaps the next person that jumps in will be on the Vinnie Vincent tier, where you give us shit and then we give you nothing back. Guys, Patreon. We talk about it every week. We thank the Patreon family for all their help and contribution. We have four different tiers. You join each one of those tiers, has a different perk that we give back. The tiers are broken up from Demon, Star Child, Spaceman to Catman. And with each tier comes, as we say, different stuff. Take a look at it. Go to the website, our website, shoutitoutloudcast.com. Patreon is right there. Click on that and then see what each section gives you. Find something that you want. Find something that you think is the tier that you like, and come join the fun. Our Patreon family is now in the process of helping us with the March Madness tournament, which will be coming soon to you, the listeners. And they help us with the album review crew picks. They help us with all sorts of stuff throughout the year. And we have different things and tiers and merch and stuff we give them. Patreon has been a huge part of the success of the show, which continues to grow. And it's no coincidence that our Patreon family continues to grow. I think if anybody's out there that's interested, take a look. And if you are interested in helping us out, join our Patreon family. It's a big help to the show. And it's a great value in our opinion. We put in, I don't know, Tom, how many hours a week do we put in?
I work harder at this show than I do at my full-time job.
Yeah. We're putting out at least two episodes basically a week.
Yep. On top of everything else.
Yep. And then it becomes the research. It becomes the actual recording. It becomes the editing. Then it becomes the social media, the polls, all that stuff, the feedback, the responding. It's become like my other full-time job along with Tom.
Yep.
And your Patreon helps us.
Yep.
So take a look. Patreon.com, Patreon the app. But the best place is go to our website right on the landing page, click Patreon, and come and support and help the show out.
Yeah, you guys are the best. We can't thank you enough. It means so much, so, so much for what you guys do for the show. And a special shout out to Brian Gray. Welcome to the family. Welcome to the Catman family. Thank you so much for joining us. And again, you guys are the best. Please, if anybody's interested or curious about what the Patreon is all about, visit our website, click on the Patreon link, or go directly to patreon.com or download the app and search for us. But you guys are the best, and we can't thank you enough. Every week we say this, and we mean it. So thank you.
So, Tom, let's do what we normally do. Let's skip on over to his world, find out what's going on there.
All right. Well, besides the obvious, which we already talked about, the, you know, the end of the road tour, the announcement, the tickets going on sale, and that whole debacle, our buddy Ace is trying something new here. Apparently, the cassette box set from last year didn't work. So now he's trying the Ace Frehley 21st Century Singles Collection. And it is seven inch 45 RPM singles in a cool little flip top storage box.
Are the songs different?
No, they are not. This is actually a really terrible, terrible set because it's all the shit from his cover albums.
Is Bronx Boy one of the singles?
Yep. Bronx Boys with the B-side of Rockin' with the Boys. The reason I put this out is because I know that a lot of the kids have really gotten back into using the hi-fi stereo systems, you know, with the record players. So I figured might be a little bit of nostalgia. The cassettes didn't work. Next year, we're maybe looking at putting like an 8-track box set together for them, too. So the kids like it.
Oh, can I go off on a little tangent here with him?
Oh, now you're asking permission if you can go off on a tangent? Okay.
Permission, I've never done that with us.
Permission granted.
Okay. A buddy of ours started going, oh, you know why Ace isn't coming on the Kiss Man.
By the way, hold on. Let me catch up. Let's preface the fact by saying we love this person. We're not going to name him by names. So if he hears this episode, we love you, but we have to get into this story.
Yes. Questionable.
Okay, don't. Jesus. Are you trying to get us fucking fired?
All right, fine. I'll cut that out.
You can't say that.
Anyway. Regardless, hey, do you know why Ace isn't going to come on the reunion show? Because he sucks, because he wants too much money, because his girlfriend's a pain in the ass. He owes a lot of taxes, and he needs to get paid in cash. Otherwise, I'm like, okay, first of all, we've heard that story since fucking Creatures Fest. We get it. Yep. Ace owes a lot of back taxes, okay? And so what Ace probably does, and which got him burnt the last time, is put shit in his girlfriend's name. And he's probably doing it with her right now. And he's going to get fucking burnt with that shit at some point.
Yep.
And, you know, everybody has runs into the tax problems here and there. Well, I shouldn't say everybody. Some people do.
And if you do, call our buddy Tony at ABCPA Inc.
Hey, Tom and Seuss, what's your buddy's name again? I need to get some tax consultation going.
Something about sole proprietorships. Hook me up. How can I help? I need him to help me with that.
I've made less money in 2019 due to COVID restrictions. And plus, my performances are brutal these days. But thank God for my band. Anyway, so he's going on and on about this. Like, dude, no shit. You think Kiss is like, hey, Ace, why don't you come back? We got $1 million if you come play. Oh, you got to pay me in cash. I ain't taking the gig.
I only take Benjamins.
Kiss would say to him, that's your fucking problem, not ours. We're not paying you under the fucking table like you're at Jimmy's Bar and Grill playing a performance, buddy. Okay? You're fucking getting paid with a check. And how you fucking pay back Uncle Sam, that's your problem. And at some point, he's going to have to show some income. You think he's fucking getting paid this whole year in cash?
If you guys buy this colored vinyl box set, if you could mail a cash in an envelope.
I'm only selling these at the gigs that I perform in. I'll be in the back with the cardboard box and I'll hand them to you if you give me $20 in cash.
I'm going to be selling them out of the back of my Toyota Corolla, if you don't mind. The trunk will be open.
Make that PayPal to my girlfriend. Send it to her directly. I'm sure she'll keep the money and give it to me when it's time. Oh, I'm sure she will.
So let's get back to the actual product here real quick. So this
is we have to?
Well, no, because this is terrible, okay?
Genghis Khan on a blue vinyl.
Genghis Khan on swirled vinyl. So the first single is Canary Yellow. Side one is Outer Space and Fox on the Run. Just terrible, okay? The second one, Tangerine Vinyl, Gimme a Feeling on the A side, and the B side is Reckless Remix. I don't even know what the fuck that is. The third one is Baby Blue Vinyl with White Room and Fire and Water.
Ugh, the next song one is terrible. Paul sings on that one.
Yeah, Fire and Water, yeah.
That's just a fucking terrible song.
Then the next one is Blue Jay Vinyl with Parasite and Cold Gin. Then the next one is Gray Vinyl with Bronx Boy and Rockin' with the Boys. Orchid Vinyl with I Want to Go Back and Mission from Mars. And then Ultra Clear Vinyl with Space Truckin' and I'm Down. Dude, what? This is terrible. Terrible.
The Ace Cult's going to buy that up.
Oh, I guarantee you this is going to be sold out in no time.
Yeah, yep. right next to them buying his fucking plaid socks fucking thing.
Oh, where you saw that too, yeah. Just come on.
It is what it is.
Yeah. That's other than that, there's really nothing. I mean, obviously everybody's fired up for the tour. The band's getting ready and they were on Howard Stern. And we're gonna break that down because last week we recorded on the day of their appearance on Howard Stern, and we didn't have time to kind of dissect it and watch it and analyze it. So we figured it was a big enough deal that it warranted a little bit of discussion. So we're gonna get into that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the big real news is, and we vented about it already, is the tickets going on sale in December 1st and 2nd are the last tour dates.
Right.
For End of the Road. There's some more tour dates that got added.
There's also something that I want to bring up. Zeus and I talked about this like a couple days ago. We saw this on Facebook. And I'm bringing it up only because it did seem like it held a little water from the person who was posting these comments. We haven't seen anything official. But the conversation started getting involved with the fact that O'Kiss will be performing on the cruise and the cruise is going to be in January. And somebody jumped in who appears to be in the know with Sixth Man and saying that the cruise is not happening in January because this person is somehow connected to Sixth Man and said that their entire first quarter of 2024 is already booked out. Now, I don't know any truth to this, but this person was adamant they weren't insulting or they were just kind of stating facts. And they said, pretty much, trust me, the first quarter of 2024 has been booked out straight for Sixth Man events and the Kiss Cruise is not part of it. Now, I don't know if that, nobody knows if that's true. All I'm saying is that it's interesting that it's March 8th right now when we're recording and there's been no word. There hasn't even been a teaser or anything about it. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, they didn't even set up, like, I thought they did that on the last Kiss cruise, like the next cruise tickets were available to already put a down payment and stuff.
You could put a down payment on the following cruise while you were on the cruise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now we don't even have anything yet.
Nope. So I thought those comments were interesting. So I don't know. We'll see.
All right, Tom, before we get into the episode, give me a second. I'm going to try to see if I can book Ace Frehley for the Kiss cruise. And, I want to do an acoustic set where I sing the American songbooks and just give it the Ace Frehley vocal treatment.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shouted Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things Kiss. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon. Pantheon. Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
All right, we're back. Ace looks like he might be serious because I just heard him. He was checking out the Rod Stewart Great American Songbook CD, trying to see, you know, if he could really master some of those classics and hopefully maybe put them on a cassette box set for next year. I don't know. We'll see.
Could you imagine him coming out and go, I'm going to sing America the Beautiful?
It's along. Another classic from old Blue Eyes. It's called Come Fly With Me. Come Fly With Me. Come Fly and Fly Away.
Well, one time I was visiting Alaska, so this song reminds me of it. This one's called I Left My Heart in San Francisco.
I also left my wallet there. That's why I can only pay in cash. I don't have any of my credit cards.
That's why I have tax problems.
I left my accountant in San Francisco.
I left my bank account number on the street in San Francisco. I don't have any money left.
Anybody got any traveler's checks? Ace, they don't use those anymore.
I guess I'll go on you. I'll go on the trip with you to Europe. I'll bring in some traveler's checks.
Next on Uncle Ace. God almighty. All right. By the way, I'm two beers deep, which is rare. I usually don't drink during these recordings, so I was kind of feeling good. It tonight. So
it's all good. It's all There's a lot of venting and yelling and complaining
I agree.
And fucking whatever.
Whatever. But
it's all good. Tom, we watched the Howard Stern video, you know.
Yeah.
We got a little bit of both. We got people, it was really awesome. And we got all the people heard it.
Yeah.
You are right. You're the Stern guy of us.
Yep.
I don't want to give like initial thoughts. Let's just get into it.
Okay.
The actual on Sirius XM, they actually, what's pretty cool is they break down the interview in sections.
It's perfect. Yeah. Once after the live event has happened, if you're not a Sirius XM subscriber, after these live interviews, they're posted on their website. And they're, like Zeus said, they're broken down almost like when you see like a podcast sometimes, not ours, we ain't doing that, how they kind of timestamp little things. And they did that with this interview was over 2 hours long. We'll get into whether or not that was necessary or not. But like Zeus said, it is kind of timestamped, which is cool.
Yeah. So the beginning, obviously, it says Howard welcomes Kiss.
Yeah. And within like the first few minutes, Paul like just says, yeah, we're here, you know. Final shows, Madison Square Garden, December 1st and 2nd. I'm like, wait, what? And then no comment, no follow-up, no nothing. Howard just goes into his interview. I'm like, you just kind of spill the beans like right away. I mentioned this last week, but hearing it again, I was like, that's really weird how he just kind of led with that, like a no follow-up.
So it's interesting because Howard, when he has a band on, you see the interviews that he knows them inside out. He knows a little bit about Kiss. He doesn't know that much, which makes it a little bit more interesting that he asked certain questions. But obviously, you know, he knows Gene.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how close he really knows Paul. The other guys, I mean, even if they said a word, I don't think he knows them.
Yeah, the two, then, poor Eric and Tommy, they, for the most part, they just sat there like potted plants the entire time.
Yeah, yeah. So the next section goes into, it says final show and lifelong bond.
Yeah, and this is the problem I had. It's kind of like when you're watching a movie and somebody's like, yeah, the movie, it's slow at the beginning, and then it gets, like, the first 35, 40 minutes, it was all about therapy and personal introspection and Paul's growing up and his ear and Gene getting emotional about his mom and the Holocaust and all that's, I'm not saying that that's not good stuff and that it's interesting, but for me, it caught me by surprise. 'Cause I'm like, I thought this was like a little bit of a promo for the end of the road tour, the final shows, and then a live performance. I'm like, what are we doing here? And it just kept going and going. I'm like, we are 40 minutes into this and you're talking like it.
Yeah,
it got real, and we're diehard Kiss fans. So I would love to know the reaction to people that are just Howard Stern fans and not even Kiss fans.
What I think it was is that Howard latched on to their story because he's at the same. He's 69 years old.
I agree. No, it's a great. Yeah, I agree.
And he ended up having a conversation about them. Like, you are where you are. You built this legacy.
Yep.
When do you walk away? How do you look back?
Yep.
Did you enjoy your childhood?
Yep.
They talk about all of it, their childhood. I mean, he was like, Gene, you had a horrible life growing up. And
yeah.
Gene gave him a fucking death stare, like,
yeah,
how dare you say that about me and my mother. And,
yeah.
Like, Gene was not happy about him, gave him a bad look.
Yeah.
A horrible, horrible childhood.
Yeah. I mean, and I've said it, we've made jokes here before. I mean, I have a background in psychology. I celebrate therapy. I think it's amazing. I think everybody should do it. I think it's just as important as going to your primary care physician. So it's not like I'm poo-pooing or minimizing the idea of that. I just was really taken aback at how much time they spent on it. But Zeus, you bring up a good point. Howard Stern is very open about his positive experiences in therapy. He had kind of a crazy childhood and a crazy upbringing. So I think there was some kindred spirits going on there. You're right.
Yeah, he had Paul, who was right there with him about therapy. I mean, Howard just was so amazed. And of course, Paul was going to let him continue.
Oh. He
was praising Paul. You went in and got therapy on your own as a child?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, blah, 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 blah.
Well, Paul was like a shark with blood in the water. He's like, oh, wait, somebody's stroking me and praising
exactly.
me?
Exactly.
I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep going.
In the meantime, it's good because now you have the opposite approach. Gene is like, you know what? I'm fine. I don't need it. I'm not saying Gene is right or Paul is wrong. I'm just saying two different ideas. And I think Howard wanted to explore that more, you know, and then they, what else do you do? Of course.
Oh, God. Go ahead.
Uninvited. Paul throws out these terms. He throws out the QTR term.
Yep.
Quality time remaining. He throws out, I paint. I have $24 million in sales. Paul, I was like, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You know, he throws out, I went and I saw Jimi Hendrix. I saw the.
You saw Jimi Hendrix? Wow.
Yeah. Like, oh. He has to throw out the same things that we all know about.
Yep.
You know, I'm an enlightened human being.
Yeah.
But the thing is that I found interesting is the conversation flowed. It was not uncomfortable. It was
very
natural.
I agree. Howard, I say this all the time, love him or hate him, Howard Stern, when he interviews people, he makes them feel so comfortable. He makes it feel like it's two people sitting at a bar having a conversation.
And part three is called Childhood Trauma and Therapy and Family. That's the part we're talking about now.
Yep.
What was interesting and I found funny at one point, Howard says, Gene, imagine the songs you would write if you harnessed that, those feelings and emotions. I'm like, dude, have you ever heard any Kiss songs?
Oh, that,
Gene has a songwriter.
That's what I was going to say. And again, I love Howard, but I was like, there were times during this interview where Howard was exposing himself as not knowing a lot about the band.
Gene, you know, he's going to say, yes, I wrote Not for the Innocent. Those lyrics remind me of my father.
Yes, I wrote Burn, Bitch, Burn. Yes, I wrote A World Without Heroes. we'll get into that about writing songs.
I just, my impression, Tom, is the same thing as you. Paul loving Howard praising him about therapy.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah.
You know? But the good part about it is, and what I enjoyed, is when they started talking about, and Howard made it a big deal to talk about their own relationship.
Yes.
And he's your brother. And like Howard must have really done this therapy because he's like, it's okay. Say to your friend, a man, I love you. I'm like, yep. Do you love Paul? Like, yes, I do.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he's like, yeah, when I had Paul McCartney on, he was saying how he was in love with John Lennon and how that term makes people feel uncomfortable. But it's like, yeah, yeah. No, you're right. It was a very big emotional love fest right there between the three of them.
We always love that. We love when the guys in the band show affection for one another and praise each other. And then Paul brings up when I had my, you know, hospital stuff, Gene flew, even though he hated to fly. Who's the first person I called after the earthquake? And then it's like, yeah, fuck you. And hangs up.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
But
right.
I find that shit endearing.
Yeah.
And then the next section, Tom, they get into is called the Rock and Roll Hall Induction Influences and Success. And that kind of has a little bit to do with Paul mentioning those acts. And then the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you know, the same old shit. They talk about how Rolling Stone and those people and how bad they were treated and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. So there was a comment that like that Paul was referring to. It's nothing that we've never heard before, but he talks about like democracy kind of being like overrated.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And how he's in rock and roll heaven with Tommy and Eric. And I'm like, okay, democracy is overrated in your eyes when you get overruled. You're in rock and roll heaven now because you got two guys who probably aren't even allowed to say a word right now, which is why they're standing next to you. It's just, again, we immerse ourselves into this stuff constantly with Paul and Gene in the band. So hearing Paul verbalize things to like a quote unquote general audience and not like a Kiss audience, we listen to it all through the Kiss filter. And I just think it's just very interesting to do that sometimes.
Yeah. And then Stern was talking about like, it's amazing how well they've done and how many people strike out to become musicians.
Yeah.
Get to that level.
Yep.
And then he threw out, it's just so interesting. He did it again. Paul did it again. He threw out Aerosmith. Oh, yeah. And they're like, Aerosmith, Joe and Dave. He goes, yeah, we love Joe. We love Joe. It's the fact that he goes, Steven and Joe. And then Paul twice goes, yeah, we love Joe. We love Joe.
Oh, yes, yes.
They
yes,
just gloss over Steven. Well, Joe was on my 78 album record, Gene said. Joe played Strutter on with us.
Yep.
And like, he said Joe and Steven.
And no comment on Steven.
Yeah, and he's like, well, I still think they're fantastic. Aren't they a great band? Oh, Gene's doing the cordial thing. And he was asking him, was there a rivalry there? He's like, well, no, we were on the same bill growing up. Paul was just like,
yep. you caught me.
Yeah. And then the next category says band name, songwriting, Strutter, and Argent.
Okay. First of all, one of the parts that stuck out here for me, first of all, the band name thing was stupid. Fucking dumb.
I said Kiss, like kiss of death,
Kiss of death, Kiss passion. Probably my favorite thing in this entire interview was the Gene I was made for loving you story. When he's like,
he says that, I've heard that story
before. But I love it though. He's like, oh great, you got a song tonight, I want to, okay, all right, yeah, I like it, okay, and what's my part? I just think that's such a great story because it just makes me like Gene, even it's just so endearing because there's humor to it. It's not cutting, it's not biting. He's having a laugh with it. You know what I mean?
I'm talking about difference in songwriting. And then my favorite part of this whole thing, and it started right then. It's like, well, you know, I wrote Strutter.
That was amazing.
Like, you did? They bickered about that the whole interview.
Oh, dude, the whole interview, all the way down until the live performances.
They'd be just like you wrote Strutter.
And Howard's like, oh, you know, great thing. Gene's like, yeah, and I wrote Strutter. He never gave it up.
It's like that Family Guy thing where Cleveland and fucking what's his name? We're going back and forth trying to get the last word in.
I thought that was hilarious. First of all, this interview, we'll get into it like as we kind of continue. Highlight how fucking old these guys are. Mm-hmm. How many times did they fuck up or forget or mess up or whatever? Like throughout the entire thing they did.
Yeah, and that's right there at 29th Street. It goes better known as 23rd Street.
Exactly. I thought that was a good line. That was kind of funny.
Yeah.
And then when Paul's telling the story about how he wrote Shout It Out Loud, he's like, wait, that's Rock and Roll All Night.
Yeah.
And then, And Tommy Thayer was like chiming in, being like, yeah, this is why we're done with touring right now. Like, it was good. It was good.
And after, I'm going to jump ahead real quick.
Yeah, but
I'll
no,
come
go
back
ahead.
To it. But yeah. He goes, after they performed, goes, and this may be their last performance yeah, ever after they're done fighting.
I thought it was, yeah. Some of the stuff was, like you said, very endearing. It was kind of like a fun side to them. But the continuing argument about Strutter was awesome.
Yeah, and then they talked about like bands that whole and Howard's always the fucking instigator. Which band gave you a hard time? Which
oh,
band?
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
band? He's like, I'm not going to get into that.
Gene did.
Yeah. And he mentioned Argent.
Gene had a great line. Well, it wasn't a great line. It was an interesting line when they talked about all the he was bragging, rightfully so, about all the amazing bands that opened for Kiss over the years.
And the Painter.
Because Gene had a quote that stuck out to me because I'm thinking, you know, back in the 70s, I'm thinking now. He's like, when you come to the Kiss show, you're seeing the whole show. It's our responsibility to make sure that you're enjoying, you know, Bob Seger and these bands. And I'm like, okay, so where does your responsibility lie when you put a Painter on stage for the end of the road tour?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Which, by the way, side note, the show in Amsterdam on the end of the road tour, they just announced that the new version of Skid Row is opening for Kiss.
Nice.
Over in Amsterdam. But I thought that was strange. Like, yeah, we take full responsibility. I'm like, okay, so you acknowledge so you own the fact that you have a fucking Painter opening up for you. Which, by the way, no opening act has been announced for the U.S. shows yet. So
yeah. And which goes into the next section, Eddie Van Halen, opening acts and finding focus.
Yep.
They talked about the Gene story of discovering Eddie, and more or less they go right into Eddie Van Halen was going to try out for the band. And then Paul's like, well, I don't know. I wasn't there. He was at the studio, but I didn't hear that conversation. Like he's yep. And it almost seems like he's throwing Gene on the bus being like, don't believe it.
I interpreted that because we all know how passive aggressive and kind of cutting Paul is. He's like, yeah, if that happened, I don't know anything about it. And mm-hmm. instead of being like, oh, that was Gene was involved with that, not me. Ask Gene. You know, it was almost like, yeah, if that happened, you talk to this guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I found all that stuff to be interesting when they talk like that and they bicker amongst each other like two old ladies.
Oh, totally. Like, right? Totally. Then he started talking about, later on, other guys kind of auditioning and all that stuff and talking about like Slash and Richie Sambora and all that stuff. And yep. I totally forgot how, I mean, obviously listening to them, like how much obviously Slash is that much younger. So he couldn't have auditioned for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
then they get into the final show, Eric's death and then Ace's departure.
Yeah. Just back up a little bit here. There was something that was really interesting and I was, anytime I hear these pieces of interviews, I'm always like, what's their real reaction now? And are they going to talk about this after? Paul saying right in front of Gene, yeah, Gene's weakness is attention. He needs to get attention. He says, yeah, he was presenting me with substandard songs.
Yeah.
And I was like, God damn it. He's sitting right next to you. Now, granted, this happened 40 years ago, so it's not new news. But I was like, and when Paul said, yeah, Gene's weakness is attention, all of a sudden you hear Gene go, power.
Yeah.
Like Gene's like, fuck yeah, I know it. That's right. It is.
And then the other part to that was that, yeah, and you know, Paul would come in with like six or seven songs that were completed. They'd all make the record.
Yeah.
And I would have like 20 or 30.
Yep. Yep, it was great. And then Paul had a little thing I thought, and when I was taking my notes, I used the word lecturing.
Yeah.
Paul lecturing on approval, being approved by people. And I'm like, dude, do people follow you on Twitter? You're obsessed with approval. You know what I mean?
Validation and is his
Oh, yeah.
Weakness.
Yeah.
That's his yeah. weakness.
But jumping ahead, like you said, yeah, they talk about the biggest mistake, and they did get into that Eric Carr story that we did talk about in detail last week.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing is it I find Paul to be sincere.
Me too.
I think he reflected on that,
yep,
and he took it to heart. Now, yep. Should he have been beaten up about the way they treated Eric before? Yeah, but he acknowledged it. He moved on, and he's regretting it. That was his bandmate. Who the fuck am I to come back in and go like, hey, that's not good enough? That's like right. Those fucking people that like want their pound of flesh on the internet. That's not a good enough apology. I want you. It's a cancel culture kind of shit where I want that person to feel like shit. Like, fuck off. Fuck off. Yep. They made a mistake and it wasn't out of malice. It was maybe a little selfish, but it wasn't like this is Kiss Now.
No.
Rolling in the millions. They were trying to survive as an entity.
Right.
And they had to get a record out. And they just said, you're not out of the band. You're, you know, just we're going to continue without you for now.
Right.
In hindsight, he's like, yeah, we should have realized he wasn't going to make it. And we need to make things better for him.
Yeah.
And I found that to be sincere. I have no reason to continue to beat him up about that. And I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree. Tommy then talked a little bit about replacing Ace and how it was like,
I liked it.
Challenging and intimidating. And then certain things that Paul does, it's no secret, just fucking piss me off. Paul just starts, in my viewpoint, Paul just starts patronizing Tommy.
Yeah.
Tommy's a great player, better than I ever thought he was. I knew he was good, but I didn't know how good he was. I'm like, Tommy's probably like, the fuck would you think I was?
But then Gene jumps in, does the same for Eric, and starts blowing him.
Right, and I will give credit to Eric.
Oh, he's a machine.
He's the heartbeat of the band. I'm like, dude, you have to check Eric's pulse. I don't even know if he has a heartbeat when he's playing. But I will give Eric credit. I did this. Howard asked him, who's the best rock drummer? And Eric goes, well, it's Buddy Rich. But if we're talking about hard rock, it's John Bonham. Like, Buddy Rich, shout out. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah.
But you're right. It's like Gene and Paul are the parents and they've given a little attaboys to their little kids, you know, like, Tommy and Eric, they're great. They're wonderful.
Yeah. If you notice, Tommy's gotten to the point where he's not outright saying fuck A's, but he's not anymore like over praising him. He's basically saying, talking about his musicianship and legend and contributions to Kiss.
Yep.
But he's a fucking dick.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like he used to always Ace is just, I love Ace. I grew up working.
That's gone.
Because I think he's like, dude, the guy's a fucking complete dick to me personally and fuck him.
I agree.
I think his comments were like, Ace, what he did, you know, it's a great guitar player. And
I liked I've always been a fan of Tommy. I don't know if I'm not going to start relitigating the whole thing about the makeup and stuff, but I think Tommy is, I think he's a great guitar player. I think he's a good guy. I like listening to him talk. Sometimes I wish they'd give him a little bit more.
You know what Tommy reminds me of? Poor Cukes.
Cukes? No.
Hear me out.
Oh.
Cukes could have a good day. Could have a good month.
Fake Ace. Is that what you mean?
And then just one day, he's like talking to a girl, trying to impress her. And one of us idiots who would go by and be like, Cukes. ruin his day.
It's true.
Tommy could have a great day. He's at the beach. He's hanging out with people, other musicians. Like, one Kiss star goes by, fake Ace. And he's like, motherfucker. Like, you can't fucking get it out. At some point, he's going to explode on somebody. Listen, you little fuck. He's going to pull the Kareem in Airplane move.
You tried dragging his ass up and on the court all night.
He grabs my throat. Listen, you little motherfucker. But I feel bad for Tommy. Like, what is he going to say? There are things that sometimes annoy me with him because he could make it easier on himself.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he doesn't have to do the fucking, I don't think he does it as much anymore, the fucking pigeon-toed walk shit that he
does try to do that every once in a while, the little
Ace walk. And just like the fucking, the solo needs to change. You mean to tell me Kiss in this day and age, his solo needs to be the fucking Ace solo?
I agree.
I mean, like, why doesn't he have his own solo? No one's going to be like, well, that's not the same Kiss show. That's not the guitar solo I saw in 1977. Like, come on, let him do his own thing, man. No one's going to fucking give him a hard time.
Wait a minute. Hold on. You're telling me that if they do whatever, you know, 100,000 years or fucking deuce, if he does a different solo, the fucking Kiss tards will lose their mind.
His guitar solo?
Yes.
Not for a specific song. If he has the section in the part where, Tommy guitar
You're talking about like the Shock Me Alive 2 solo, like the long.
Yeah, like nobody needs to have your own solo. Okay, do a solo for something else.
Okay, nobody's, I misunderstood you.
Hold them to that. I understand if Eric Singer in the middle of the 100,000 years solo said, I'm going to do the drum solo in this, but I'm going to do it differently. Then people would be like, what the fuck?
Okay, I got you.
Just do your own drum solo off of something else. Nobody's going to go to that Kiss concert and be like, well, they didn't do it during this, and therefore this show sucks.
Well, the flip side of that is those guys can't please anybody, so they might as well just do the fucking easy thing.
Do the thing on your own. I think you just
that too.
All right. So the next thing they do is they get into and they play Detroit Rock City Live, which sounded good. Paul was not lip syncing.
Yeah, no, I actually thought they sounded really good. And it's funny. We say this all the time on the Kiss cruise when they do those indoor shows, it's a very tight, small venue. Okay. And obviously this is obviously much tighter. So it's a recording studio for a talk show, but he smiles so much on these small. I feel like, I don't know, when we have second row on December 2nd, we'll see. But I feel like Paul doesn't smile when he's at the big venues.
Because he's so nervous. How does it look? I've got to make sure I don't fuck this up.
Listen!
We're not putting him in.
I know.
So anyway, I just feel like he's so preoccupied with looking like that.
You might be right.
He's not fucking up. He can't enjoy himself.
He's not comfortable. He's not at ease.
But he also does the fucking, hey, they think we're stupid. So when they do sing live, they're like, oh, see, this is live.
Yeah.
You don't do that at every concert, motherfucker. Don't act like we're crazy because you do it on the fucking the Sail Away show and you do it on Howard Stern.
Yeah. That brings us up to the next thing. They do Shout It Out Loud. Paul messes up the story about Shout It Out Loud. but then Howard starts asking about his voice, and Paul starts getting into, the technology is so great. The lights are synchronized.
Yeah, they were very dismissive.
It was almost Paul and Gene and Paul talked about, isn't it all about fan enjoyment? Which I've said that before. I don't give a shit what's going on. I'm seeing Kiss up with my friends. I'm having the time of my life. I don't give a fuck. Now, if that makes me a bad person, if we've become friends with Eddie Trunk, if Eddie Trunk looks down on me differently, that's his prerogative. I don't care. I'm at a Kiss show with my best friends, with 20,000 people having the time of life. I don't give a fuck if he's got tracks.
In a championship wrestling match where your heart is going up and down, he's going to pin him, he's going to pin him, he's going to pin him. Well, wait a minute. He didn't really break his leg in that figure four. This is bullshit. That's what you're talking about. But are you excited to watch it? You know he's not breaking his leg.
Yes,
but
and if anybody, and
yeah,
yes, and you're right. I will liken wrestling to a Kiss show. Absolutely, same thing.
Still enjoyment.
It's entertainment. That's right. That's right.
So they were talking, and then they talk a little bit about writing anthems. Neil Bogart writing Rock and Roll All Night, and writing. Yep. And he's like, well, I'll come in with the song. And again, they bring up the Strutter, like I wrote Strutter.
I love that.
And then he's like, and then Paul gives that shot. Yeah, I was devastated. It was like that Pac-Man thing. Boo, 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 boo. When Bob Ezrin took God of Thunder away. But you know, his signature song was written by me. We've heard Paul say that.
Of course he had, and he loves that.
And then Gene says, and I wrote Strutter.
Yeah, I know. So good. So good. Yeah, that was
great. And then they do Shout It Out Loud, which sounded good.
Yeah, I thought it sounded good. Yeah, it was fine.
One thing interesting about this is at one point they asked him about, you know, the songwriting we were talking about. It's kind of mixed in there. I'm not sure which part it was. But then they say, like, and this is something I never thought about. He basically asked them, so who decided who's going to sing? Since you both wrote Rock and Roll Night, how did Gene get to sing it?
Yeah.
I've never heard that asked.
I agree. I said this. I'm like, holy shit. What's the answer to this question? Because I've never heard it asked.
Because they both came in with different parts of the song.
Yep.
I found that interesting. They're like, well, you know, they're being diplomatic about it. But that is true.
Yep.
It's pretty simple. If I wrote the song, generally I'm going to sing the song. If that's a Gene written track, he's going to sing it.
Right.
But the beginning when they were switching.
Yeah.
Rock and Roll Night sung by Paul.
Oh, God.
Anyway, next section after Shout Out Loud. Oh, and then he made him sing. He made Tommy do the solo again. And then Tommy started doing it. And then Paul jumps in and starts doing something, which was not the solo. And then Tommy's like, no, he wants me to do the solo. And
I love that. Tommy's like, no, he wants to hear the solo, you fuck up. Stop. This is about you.
He doesn't want to hear the G chord. Fucking back up.
Yeah. Oh, it was great. It was great.
Yeah. And then they talked about the anthems, the crowd response to with the crowd. We don't care about the critics. The biggest critics is the people coming to the stadium. All right, dude.
Relax.
So Gene tries to tell a story that Rock and Roll All Night is very simple, but musicians realize that it's hard because of the beat.
He couldn't explain
music.
This story was fucking hilarious. And you have to watch it because Eric is the musician out of the.
Eric is watching Gene try to tell this story. And he's just like rolling his eye like a parrot. And then fucking he's like, so Eric, what does it mean? No, it means this, this, and this.
That was so great. Poor Gene probably started off by being like, I'm going to show the big boys how they do it. And you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of like when a little kid has to like correct his grandfather. He's like, no, Grampy, it didn't go. No, it didn't go that way. It went like this. Okay.
Yeah. And then he's like, you're going to make us screw it up because they kept talking about it. They do it.
They screw it up.
And Gene fucks up coming in out of the chorus, starting the song on the wrong in the middle of the song again.
Coming out of in the solo, he fucks up Tommy's solo.
And then Paul realizes, he's like, we're going to do it one more time. We want to get it right for you. He's like, and Dick Howard's like, okay, who fucked up? Well, we're not going to point fingers. We're going to move on. In other words, it's this fucking asshole.
Okay, so here's the thing. I want to ask you this question here. What's your take on that little snippet there? Do you think that it looks worse for Paul saying, hey, we're doing this again? Or do you think they could have been, or do you think, because I thought it was interesting how when Gene fucked up, Eric didn't know if he should continue playing. Tommy didn't know and then they picked it back up and they finished the song. I thought I was shocked when Paul's like, we're doing that again. And Howard's like, why? That was great. What's the problem? What happened?
Yeah.
I think that speaks volumes about Paul.
You know what Paul was thinking about? This show comes out on clips. I don't want that clip. They'll forget that this is the second take. They'll put this clip in when they preview the show.
You might be right.
You know, there's always snippets. And he might say to Howard, when you put snippets of the show out on YouTube and stuff, put the second song out. Don't put the first.
Right. Yeah. I thought
right?
That was so
that's why I think he said it. And then it's funny, as soon as they finish, the second goes, why don't you guys do it again?
Oh, I love that. It was great. That was great. And then they got into like we talked about the God of Thunder stuff and all that stuff. It stuck out. Like, I think it really, when you make a mistake like that, I think what Paul did almost made it worse, in my opinion.
Yeah, but like, you know, sometimes you get a little bit of, I don't know. Oh, so admirable to say, yeah, we made a mistake. We make mistakes. Oh,
yeah.
What a strong personality.
But I love how it's like, where was the mistake? And Paul's like, yeah, we're not gonna.
Yeah, we're not gonna. We're not gonna point fingers. Yeah, we're not gonna toss accusation or whatever it was.
Yeah, yeah.
And then at the end, they're like, oh, you know, this and that. Thank you. Then and Paul goes, you know, Howard, you've really grown. I'm really proud of you. I'm like, dude, Howard Stern does not need your fucking validation.
I said that. I'm so glad you brought that up. I'm like, what the
fuck? I'm so proud of you.
What is Paul Stanley?
Was he a reformed child abuser? Like,
right. I'm like, what is Paul Stanley say? Like, he's constantly patronizing people. Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm proud of
you. Oh, he's fucking Howard Stern.
Paul Stanley said he's proud of me.
Right. Yeah, I noticed that too. I was like, that's weird.
As always with all these long-form Kiss interviews, biographies, documentaries, and all that other stuff, 90% of it is stuff we've heard.
Oh, yeah.
It's still always worth it to get that 10%.
I agree.
This was a straightforward, nice conversation. You could listen to it, maybe listen to it a second time at most, and then you put it away.
Yeah. I got turned off with the really lengthy intro. You know, we talked about with the therapy and the childhood that really droned me out for a while. I was like, what the fuck? Once they turned the corner, I was like, okay, this is cool. I can get into this a little bit.
Yeah. But see, as a Kiss fan, We don't give a shit about that. But if, as a, like a talk radio, a morning show, people are fascinated.
Oh, of course.
That's good conversation.
Absolutely.
Right?
No. Absolutely.
As a Kiss fan, we're like, get to why you wrote fucking
I agree.
Charisma.
Yep.
Like, you know,
yep.
That's what we want to hear.
Yep.
So, but overall, Howard is Howard and it worked. I thought it was a fun conversation.
Yep.
It was enjoyable. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I found myself enjoying, especially going around the second time. I was like, okay, this isn't that bad.
No. And yeah, glad we got a chance to talk about it and break it down.
Absolutely. It's important.
So, guys, we're not going to rank this because it's technically not a TV appearance. So, sorry, it doesn't get ranked and thrown in our thing.
I mean, there's video, but it's just video that accompanies the Howard Stern Show on available on Sirius XM. So,
yeah,
you know, we like to stick to the rules here. You know us.
Yeah. And so what we do next is we go over and get question of the week.
Yeah, this is a good one. I like what, like I said before, I kind of sit on these and hopefully that they'll become relevant. And this one is. And this is from our buddy Moving On 2660850 off Twitter. And I've been sitting on this one for a while, so it's a good time to ask it now. If you could see Kiss choose the opening act for the tour, who would it be? He says, who would it be of a current band that is touring? But let's just open up. If you could choose the opening band for when we go see them in New York, who would you want to see?
No question about it. I would take Bruce Kulick's band over Ace Frehley's band.
That's the easiest answer on planet Earth is the Bruce Kulick band.
Because anything Ace is going to play is going to get played better when Kiss plays. Bruce Kulick's band's going to play shit Kiss won't play, and they may even play it better.
Which is why I don't think it'll ever happen. I think the crowd will lose their fucking mind for the Bruce Kulick band, and they'll play stuff that, like, obviously Kiss will never play. Bruce Kulick band, easiest. First of all, it checks off all the boxes, okay? It's an opening act. It's Kiss music. It's a former Kiss member. It seems like it's too easy to comprehend that they won't do it.
It's also, hey, people will buy those records that it put money in your pockets.
Right.
Everything they play will be your stuff. They're not playing stuff off BK3 or Took. They're playing shit off of Kiss albums.
And that's not to say that Took and BK3 aren't good albums and good stuff. But
no, but my point is, it's all Kiss stuff. It'll be putting songs of yours that maybe some are not familiar with.
I agree. Now, if we're talking other bands, like outside bands, like that aren't like Kiss related to Bruce Kulick, I have no idea. I don't know right now off the top of my head.
I have one.
Having Skid Row open for them in Amsterdam kind of paves the road for what they're looking at. So I could see it be something like that. But go ahead. You have an idea.
Alice in Chains.
Because they opened up for them on the reunion tour.
And they didn't. They played like two and fucking John, what's his name, got all heroined up.
See, don't tease me by having two of my favorite bands perform at the same time on the same site.
Or Stone Temple Pilots.
Yeah. I just think, I've said this since day one, they're not going to do anything different. We'll save that because we will have a prediction episode maybe in November. Okay. Like we did for the first End of the Road.
Yeah.
But Alice in Chains, we'd both lose our minds if that was the case. But I think Bruce Kulick is the easy answer and it should happen.
It makes much sense.
Yeah, exactly. It makes too much sense. Yep.
All right, Tom, where can people find us?
Always start with our website, shoutoutloudcast.com. Everything is right there, right on the landing page. You got links to our Patreon, links to our Amazon shopping, links to our merch, all that. And then you can go right there and check out our album review crew episodes. We have one coming up this month in March. It's my pick. We have our Dorm Damage episodes. We have our Zeppelin Chronicle episodes. Everything is there. All of our rankings, everything. And you can comment directly on the website. Okay. So please check out that. And then of course you can send us messages on the website or our email, shoutoutloudcast@gmail.com. And of course our social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, very active. We're on there. Send us messages, tag us, pictures, all that good stuff, please. And of course, our wonderful Patreon family, and a huge shout out to Brian Gray for joining the family. Thank you so much, Brian. And to everybody else out there, you guys rock. You're a huge, huge help to the show. So thank you. And we always like to mention that we're a proud member of the Pantheon Podcast Network of shows.
Yep. Tom, I always tell people they can DM us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're almost at 1,000 there. It'd be great if we get there with your help. Go on YouTube and subscribe. Give us one of those 5-star child reviews on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, Stitcher, Facebook, wherever you see those 5 stars, you can give us one. We'd appreciate it. Actually, we got one on Apple Podcasts, Tom. I'd like to read now. It's from Ron Bottoms. You wanted the best? You got the best. 5 stars, Apple Podcasts. It says, this is the best KISS podcast by a mile. Tom and Zeus are freaking hilarious. Always bringing the best album reviews in the new KISS world. Highly recommend this and the Dorm Damage podcast they do as well. Ron Bottoms, thank you very much. Don't know who you are, but feel free to DM us and let us know. And please, these are the kind of things that really help the show. We talk about it all the time. How can you help us? You want to see the show grow and find more success? Patreon, give us a 5-star review. Use our Amazon store on our website and our awesome merch. I just put up 3 new pictures of Loudcasters with our merch on. It is a huge help. We love seeing that stuff. Let us know if you send us a picture. If we have your permission, we'll put it on the website. And keep helping the show, and we'll thank you, and we'll continue to do our best for you, the fans. And I do want to mention one thing. We haven't said it in quite some time, but it's always wondrous for me and Tom when we see, you know, we just had 3 sides of the coins on. So we see what our peers are doing, and they were just, we'll never get to that point. We'll never do this. We'll never get to. Guys, our show has never been hotter. We've never done as well as we are doing now. Since the day we started, our show consistently grows. Yep. And that's the best part. We haven't plateaued at all. Every few months you look, we're doing more and more and more. We're expanding to a bigger and bigger audience. We're ranking higher and higher. We still rank #1 KISS podcast, and we hope we will remain there, and we'll do our best for you, the listener, to remain up top, because we don't stop. And as we always say, we're like that shark. It's always moving forward. And this show will always move forward because we put you guys first.
Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't agree with more than that. And thank you, Ron, for that amazing 5-star review. That's amazing for taking that time and for just sharing your thoughts. We truly appreciate that. So thank you very much.
Tom, what we'd like to do is end on famous last words. Do you have any?
Oh, yeah. Tonight, I want to see it in your eyes. Feel the magic. There's something that drives me wild. And tonight, we're going to make it all come true.
Nice. Don't let them tell you that there's too much noise. They're too old to really understand. You'll still get rowdy with the girls and boys. Because it's time for you to take a stand. Yay!
Perfect.
Shout it! Shout it!
Shout it out loud! Why is everybody stop shouting out loud? I'm not deaf. Stop shouting out loud.
And we'll tie it together with that last action hero again. Oh, that awesome Jesus movie.
Yes.
And stop shouting! I'm not deaf! Greatest online.
Oh, man. Of all time.
Anyway, Tom, thank you. Loudcasters, thank you. KISS Army, thank you. Oh, and Cukes, thanks for the story again.
Jeez. Thank you guys so much. You're the best. We can't say it enough, and we can't say it more than we do every week. We love you guys. You're the best listeners, the best fans, the best supporters. Thank you so much. And Zeus, my friend, as always, thank you.
Peace out, Girl Scout.
Hey, boy. Hey, boy. After I crucify him, you next.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.